Hey, 372 pages, we'll never get back. We're here today with an exciting announcement. I am Michael J. Nelson. With me, Connor Listoka. Connor, how are you?
I'm good, Mike. We're starting over because we first started talking about Nashville, and I realized we had already recorded one about our time in Nashville because we lost our stuff that we recorded in Nashville. So they've heard plenty of talk about Nashville.
Yes, and they've also not heard plenty of talk about Nashville, but let's not open that wound again, shall we?
No, let's not open a wound because we've got some important and exciting stuff to talk about. We covered a lot of potential books the last time that we talked to everybody, and it's been a week and a half since then. I've attended a bachelor party since then, and I'm still standing.
Oh, was this, you flew off to one, right?
Yeah, I flew back to D.C. and went to my brother's bachelor party. He's getting married Memorial Day weekend, so I got to hang out with a bunch of people who are 8 years younger than me. So it was getting exposed to a wild new variety of drinking games that were far more sophisticated and advanced than anything I had ever learned.
You were warming up your beer pong skills and they were going, oh, old man.
Yeah.
We played 25 years ago.
We play beer dice.
Ooh.
And so it was a good one. I'll show it to you the next time we're there. It's intricate and involved, and the Bud Light did flow.
Oh, ooh! Yeah. did you buy the keg?
It was if you're going to be playing beer dice, you don't want to be doing that with a fine IPA that costs $16 a four pack.
Yeah, a triple IPA slamming it down.
So while we were there, I didn't really find a way to worm any of the current stuff we've been reading into the conversation. That was not how I chose to try to endear myself to these youngsters.
Wait, but none of them had read 64 Squares? Not a single one?
No, none of them had read that. There was never an awkward moment where someone was, talking about how they loved Ready Player One and I had to bite my tongue. So that was nice.
When you threw out your, who is the sheriff of this bachelor party, and no one responded?
Right.
I just slack-jawed.
Walked at the door and into the lake of where we were staying.
Well, mazel tov to your brother. When does that go down?
A couple weeks, Memorial Day weekend.
Wow, fantastic.
Yeah.
I celebrated being down in Nashville by getting the worst spring flu I've ever had, with a throat of shredded hamburger and swallowing is a utter pain. Like, you just go, do I really have to do this? Am I going to endure another swallow?
Right.
So I got that going for me, but wow. I'm coming out of that. You might hear just a touch of it. I apologize for that.
A touch of nullity in your performance?
Just a little bit there, Captain.
we shared a lot of books that were potential with people last time. We got some great responses. People were very enthusiastic about a lot of them. And, obviously we can only read one at a time, but I don't think that the fact that we're going to read what we're reading next does not preclude any of them from ever being read on this podcast. Especially because a lot of them, this is the problem with terrible books that no one's ever heard of, is that they tend to go out of print.
Yes.
So we're doing an experiment. We got, I've got a copy of Trucking Through Time ordered to your house, and it's out of stock on Amazon, and whether that means they're printing more, whether they've got a guy sort of searching through the Amazon warehouse, like the Ark of the Covenant, the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark, to find a copy of Trucking Through Time. Whether they're going to the guy's estate to try to track down one from his grandchildren, we don't know. But if it ever does arrive, that'll be we can pop that in the queue. However, since it wasn't available, it's not on Kindle. We're not going to be able to do that, even though that was the one people expressed a lot of interest in.
And that we know now that a lot of you don't read the books. So, but still, we have to give you that opportunity. We can't,
yes.
It has to be available. Otherwise, we could just make up books and talk about them.
Right.
And,
man. Well, that's the long con we're working to. And yeah, if you can't buy it, then how will Trucking Through Time show up on my Pole Vault books? People also bought this this book page, and that's really the ultimate goal, is to confuse those recommendations.
What year was the Trucking Through Time book written?
I think it was like 2001, 2002.
Oh, okay. So it could be. I, for some reason, thought it was much earlier, and so thought the on-demand printing was probably not a thing that was worked into that deal. But sure, that's within that time frame comfortably.
Yeah, maybe. Like, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure when Amazon started doing it, but like clearly this book was not picked up by anyone. I don't think he had a print run of them established, but we'll see what happens. Like it says it's available and we'll ship it when it's in stock. So when that happens, we will get to explore the book that one reader on Twitter called had Tommy Wiseauian dialogue, and combine that with all the trucking and the time travel. I think it's clearly a winner.
Yeah, so we're not done with you yet, trucking through time. Do we want to give a few more that are off the list, and then people can sort of figure out process of elimination?
Sure. I mean,
what we're going to be doing.
We were taking a look at that other one that some guy described as Ready Player One meets Stranger Things, and that one is just by far it's shooting up the Amazon bestseller charts. You can get it for free if you have Kindle, but I wasn't positive it was going to be. It was very well reviewed on Amazon, but you know, then again, so was Ready Player One. So that was sort of a not as enthusiastic, because it didn't seem to have that sort of weird aspect where we would be delighted by it. It just seemed like it may just sort of be boring. Plus, it was about a kid with leukemia.
Great!
Not that that's puts it beyond reproach, but.
Yeah, but people weren't passing around samples of it and going, can you believe this,
No.
You know, as all a Ready Player One.
No, I think the only negative review was, you know, one of those idiots who reviews it because it, like, came late by Amazon, or, like, the package was damaged, which people are...
One star.
Yes, people are still doing it. And then so the racist Hunger Games, also out of print, even that was also... People seem to not... want to read that, even though I thought it sounded hilarious and up our alley. But maybe I can trick you all into reading that at some point in time.
Also, The Long Con, that Connor's actually the author of that racist Hunger Games book.
Look, if I'm the racist, maybe you all are the racists if you think that my book is racist.
Wow, you really flipped it on us. You did a reverse racism on us.
And then, yeah, the other two books. Listen, the other two books, I don't even remember what they were. But when I sent you the list on Monday, I think, and you wrote back, I think that the top of my choice is The Mister by E.L. James.
Yeah. Yeah, and now I've got the book in hand.
Yeah, and I shipped it within minutes, and
I'm starting to starting to have a few trepidations about it. We were assured. Well, I don't know if assured is too strong a word, maybe, but the whole impetus for it was the F rating from, was it Entertainment Weekly?
Entertainment Weekly, yeah.
A reviewer who said she'd never given an F and never would in the future, but so that's, you know, of course we're paying attention then. And then she said, like 50 Shades of Grey, this is not, it's not dirty, and it certainly has no elements of BDSM or whatever it's called,
right?
Well, it is a bit dirty. I'm not gonna lie to you,
you cracked the cover already.
I did. It starts off with a bang. I won't give it away, because it's an opening sentence that's pretty good. It's not in the... There's a prologue, and then the opening sentence of chapter one is pretty fantastic. So,
right.
I'll leave that for a future episode.
Okay, well, yeah, but so we're going to read The Mister by E.L. James, and clearly the oeuvre of E.L. James is not something that either of us are familiar with or well-versed in, so we did some... I did some research into her backstory. I guess I shouldn't say we're not familiar with it, because when the movie of 50 Shades of Grey came out, a lot of people were saying that you've got to do a riff tracks of this. I think, you know, our Twilight stuff was very popular, so they thought this would be the same sort of thing. And we were like, well, I don't know. And I think that more than anyone else, I was like, come on, how bad could it be? And we watched it in Nashville one time, and even I was like, oh yeah, there's no way. This would be so weird to just be sitting here during these like lengthy and more explicit than I had imagined scenes of people, you know, rolling around on each other just to like be cracking schnappy jokes for and acting like this is a normal thing that you felt comfortable doing.
Yeah, we're all sitting there, a bunch of grown men, and you know, in a rented house in Nashville, and here's Fifty Shades of Grey playing out on the big screen. It's like, what are we? What have we become?
Drawing and curtains so we don't have to, like, so that we don't get kicked out of the Airbnb.
And the lesson we learned from that? Apparently nothing, because we're wading in right now into pretty much the same thing.
Right. So, yeah, so the backstory of this author is that once Twilight came out, she loved them so much that she decided to start writing her own fanfic on fanfiction.net, the premier fanfiction site where we were pulling all our Ready Player One fanfiction for. And she wrote a Twilight fanfic called Master of the Universe. And her pen name for that, E.L. James is a pen name too, but she used the pen name Snow Queen's Ice Dragon. Which is it's like a Second Life handle where you've got a pixelated ice dragon, I guess, as your avatar. And then so this was a sensation on fanfiction.net and ended up morphing into the 50 Shades books, which were clearly just, you know, absolute sensations, 125 million copies worldwide. She landed on Time's 100 Most Influential People list in 2012. And by 2013, she was Forbes's highest earning author to the tune of $95 million.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, she could buy and sell us all. At some point in time, it was the sort of the narrative about the book was that it really was aided by the ascendance of the Kindle, because you could be reading the ebook of this on the subway without anyone knowing that you were reading these scenes of someone being like chained to the radiator and a dog licking their nipples or something like that, which is what I imagine happened in 50 Shades of Grey.
I have an elderly relative who shall, I'll keep some level of anonymity here, who was by a pool with a bunch of other similarly aged women, like who should be old enough to know better. And they started discussing 50 Shades of Grey. And this relative said, could you please stop? I don't have any interest in this stuff. And this is just, and they persisted. And so she had to storm off to not hear about dogs licking nipples or whatever. from these respectable, I mean, this is retirement age ladies.
Yeah, so. from people who would be bouncing their grandchild on their knee moments later if timing worked out.
Yeah, I found that phenomenon bizarre. So apparently there were just some sort of waves of repression going on in our culture where people, finally someone with my interest too that I've kept hidden all these years.
Yeah, just give me an excuse was all they were looking for. But you know, we've seen how that works, is that once the narrative gets out that, like, oh, you've got to read this, people start, you know, reading garbage like Ready Player One, and it's sort of an Emperor's New Clothes effect.
Yeah, but you start reading it and then you go, oh, this is garbage. You stop reading it. I mean, I stop reading good books if I don't like them, because life is too short. I'll go to the next one. There's got to be another book out there. I don't have to read the same one everyone else is reading.
Right. Yeah, but I guess it probably had the maybe the book club effect going for it, type of thing, where you'd get around and have bottles of wine, and then the host would direct you over to the radiator with their dog, type of thing. So I guess that's how these things just sort of happen. Peer pressure gets people to make a talentless author earn $95 million.
It's Hootie and the Blowfish effect, I guess. I don't know. it's just there, and people seem to like it. So yeah, sell it to me too, I guess.
Second concert I ever went to.
No way.
Yeah, it was, it's exactly what you said. It was on the radio, so it was like, well, I mean, they're coming to town. What am I going to do, not go to that? Like,
which raises, of course, the question, what was the first?
Green Day.
And was this under your own choice, or was this sort of a bunch of guys are going to this, or did you beg the parents, please?
I think it was the sort of thing where I was like, for like about a week, I was working up the nerve and like the backstory to sort of like, time it with bringing home a good report card or something to then ask my parents. And then when I asked, they were like, oh, sure, sounds good. I don't know. And I was like, that's this easy.
You of course know my first concert. I believe I've told you this.
Rush, right?
It was Rush. At 16, I went to a Rush concert, and I was a pretty sheltered kid, pretty good kid. And the amount of doobies passed to me was just mind-blowing to me. I had never I mean, I was 16. I hadn't been to a concert, so
right. You're looking around to see if it was a setup or something, like an elaborate test by your parents.
Yeah, the Doobies and the fact that Rush was on the stage were the two most shocking things to me.
Right. In a sliding door scenario, you could have emerged from that and become Ernest Cline.
Oh, that's right.
But yeah, so I think that the Kindle effect is probably working for this book as well. It's also a worldwide bestseller on Amazon. But I think the challenge for this to you, to me, and to our readers is to go out in public, to wherever you might do some reading, whether the coffee shop or whether you're waiting outside the bar to open at 10 a.m. I want people to be reading this book paperback so that people can see them and they have to answer some questions about it. I will do it if you will do it.
Oh, I will do it. I have a lot of experience. I used to have to write reviews and they would just assign the review. And a lot of times you'd get review copies, but sometimes it wouldn't come in time. And so I'd go to the video store and have to go, can you snag that Sex and the City 2 movie off the shelf there for me? I really need to see that.
Yeah, toss in a Corky Romano and I'll make it a double feature.
Yep. So, well, yeah, I'm fine. I'm steeled to this challenge.
And then the other detail about this author was that she sort of employed the Star Wars tactic where, like, you know, every Star Wars new movie is now just about either the backstory to the Death Star or the creation of another Death Star or, like, the Death Star as told by the viewpoint of the Death Star's brother-in-law. And so she did that. I didn't know this until we looked into this. In 2015, she released Grey, subtitle, 50 Shades of Grey as told by Christian Grey. So yeah. she's just it's like the gospel. She's just, you know, sort of telling it in a slightly different fashion.
Yeah, she didn't stop with one, right?
No, I guess she retold the second book as told from his point of view too. And there is, you know, there's a third book. So the fact that this is getting F's from people is a sign that maybe she should just go back to that. Well.
Well, speaking of dogs, how about a new thing where told from the perspective of the pet, but then the book is for your pet, for you to read to your pet?
Whoa, all right. Uh-huh. So you just, you know, you keep looking over at your dog to gauge its horniness level as you're reading this to them?
Which, like, is not very difficult with a dog. Right.
I thought I saw a hump. It's licking itself. Is that just because it's itchy or it's actually horny? All right, so if you read this book to your dog and your dog gets horny, send that to us as well. Video footage, please.
Video, of course, yeah.
And so the other, I mean, not too much else to discuss about this, but I thought some of the customers who viewed The Mister on Amazon also viewed section was pretty entertaining. Some of the titles there were Stolen by the Scottish Rogue.
Stolen by the Scottish Rogue is the title, not Stolen by the Scottish Rogue.
Oh man, that would be so much better. I mean, that's not a worse fan fiction pen name than Snow Queen's Ice Dragon.
No, I don't see that name and want to go, oh, I'm going to read this, clearly, but the Scottish Rogue, I'd be, yeah.
Stolen, based on the novel Push by the Scottish Rogue. The other one was America's Geek Heart. Which, if you look at the cover of America's Geek Heart, the idea that they're trying to pass this guy off as a geek is just so offensive to true geeks like, you know, Ernest Cline and Wade Watts.
Is he one of those, I guess you could just say I'm a geek. I go to Marvel movies and...
Right, know. And he's got, you know, Zac Efron's entire... It was pretty much, you know, give me Zac Efron that I cannot license type of thing.
Right.
And then the other one that was funny was, this was a long one, Bad Blue Bloods, : a high school bully romance, : rich boys of Burberry Prep.
Wow, this is new territory with the : and then parentheses.
Yeah, so I guess that's the series that it's part of. But yeah, so this is a whole new, you know, this is like going into Hallmark movies. This is untouched turf, but we'll see how this one goes first. And then the last one was, of course, customers who viewed The Mister also by this point in time, because of us, have viewed Trucking Through Time.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah. I wonder how many copies are out there. I can't believe that I missed... Well, I'm getting one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's on order. And, like, so I ordered it the same time I ordered this one for, like, $18. And now when you look at it, it's $12. So some weird stuff's going on with the price fluctuation. And there are a few used ones out there. But I think it's important to order it new and see if they actually ever get new ones in stock so we can recommend that to people. And I don't know, maybe we can do the thing where we, like, do a scanning project where everyone who has one scans 10 pages and then we make it into an ebook or something.
Yeah, I hope we can push it up into that, white paper or, rarefied professor book where it's $460 or something
right.
like that.
Yeah, and it's got a title as long as the Bad Blood Blue Ones one where you, right. It makes no sense how expensive it is, but. And so the last thing, this was my favorite review of the book so far. So the first two most helpful ones on Amazon are very critical and bad, but then the first helpful one is someone who says, "Where do I begin? Perhaps from the beginning? All right. E.L. James was my very first read, and I mean, I never read books for fun or even when I had to for school."
Wow.
So it's so this person, 5 stars from someone who I assume has to be the literal dumbest person in the entire world who had never read a book before.
Even when forced to read a separate piece. I'm not touching that garbage. That's like 60 pages.
I'll take the F. Coincidentally, also the grade given to The Mister by Entertainment Weekly. So, yeah, so that's sort of a taste calibration there.
Wow, yeah, that would be, reviewing a food and, all I ever eat is Cheetos dust off my own fingers.
Right.
And I give this 5 stars.
Right. Yes. Know your critic before you take the advice to heart.
I do want to encourage I feel like we've been slightly negative on the book. It is pretty fun to read. It's pretty quick and it's pretty dumb. The prose is not going to, there's not going to be any praise for the prose. It's not going to be like, we can't make fun of that. It's pretty good. That's solid stuff. It's not at all. The other thing is the names of the people, which I think we said before, but I'll just to...
I don't think we have.
Maxim Trevelyan is the hero. And the woman is, and this one I'm going to probably stumble upon. I don't know what the pronunciation is. Alessia Demachi.
Yeah.
So Maxim Trevelyan and Alessia Demachi.
So I would not have known which of those was the hero and which one was the heroine if you had just presented them to me blind.
Yeah, I should have said, which is the mister?
Damn.
But it is Maxim, of course. But there's a lot of, also there's that kind of Stephen King type stuff here with a lot of effects in the text itself, with a lot of... italics and bams and
oh well
and exclamation points and side things, it's just it's trying to read really quick, so don't be put off by the fact that it does seem long, but it's not really long at all.
Okay, well, that's good. So Maxim is the mister, because I've never heard the mister used as like a noun in that way. It's usually just a title.
I think that she is, this is the basic story. There's no spoilers, I think. I think it's all it is he falls for his maid, and she's the maid.
Okay.
And so I think she probably calls him the mister, because she's foreign.
Oh.
And, so pretty much that's all, like, I think that's the plot.
This is an untouched turf in terms of plot here. I mean, I can't think off the top of my head of more than 3 dozen movies that have done such a thing.
A high-toned gentleman of some means falling for a person out of his social class. It's plowing new ground here. Guess I shouldn't use the term plowing new ground as I'm looking. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Out of the belly, tickling the beginning of my pubic hair.
Right.
So, sorry, everyone.
Yeah, really. It's, oh, boy. So this is, you're going to get to hear us say some things that, plowing new ground is the only way to put it, really.
Two grown men putting on headphones, meeting, setting aside time in the week, reading dirty books and talking about them. A life well lived, Connor.
Yes, it is. How did it come to this? Let me open up the file here. We can do some quick control effing just to see what the... what the word count's going to be on some of these.
Well, start with pubic.
Okay.
Go from there.
Let's see.
I'm looking over, let's see, nylon house coat is pretty good.
House coat, wow, that's like dear old Mrs. G in Ready Player One.
Yeah. So it's not like every page as I thumb through the book, but this guy, I think it's like a mix of first person and I don't know the perspective, I haven't figured out yet, but he's talking to himself a lot, and he doesn't seem very bright or very articulate, and he's kind of got a filthy mouth. So I don't know what I don't know how we're going to warm to this dude, but again, I'm skimming. So
it's not appropriate for a man of his stature.
I think not.
Might she make him less uncouth?
I guess this is Birdie Wooster after dark or something. I don't know.
All right, let's see. Finger slipped through my pubic hair is in the third paragraph.
Whoops. Of the book itself? Of the whole book?
Yeah. All right.
Oh, boy.
That only comes up twice.
Oh, okay.
All right. So,
give us the F-bomb count, because that looks pretty high.
Yeah. It's I'm opened up in like a weird like EPUB reader, but yeah, I'm clicking and it's like three per page.
Yeah.
All right. This is going to be... Oh, wow. Just came to one that's three, just one sentence of it three times. All right, so yeah, you know, just keep the kids away from this one, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. There's a R rating on this, and you know, fanfic is going to be interesting for you listeners out there.
So I went to fanfiction.net to search for it, and I guess I should have searched for Snow Queen's Ice Dragon, because I searched for E.L. James, and it immediately popped up a page that it asked to be if I wanted to translate into Spanish as L. James. So there might be fanfic out there. I'm sure there is for 50 Shades, obviously, but maybe you can sneak some of that in, or there might be stuff for this book already, or it just could have the Armada effect, where people just hate this book and only write fanfic about her first effort.
Well, despite the negatives that I've already said about it, make no mistake, Pappy, this is light years ahead of Pappy.
Oh, all right.
And
okay.
In terms of just like thumbing through it and reading it, it's much more, you know, I don't feel the immediate need to do the Silkwood shower and all of that. So it's fine.
Yeah, it'll be a new quadrant of our you know, highbrow, lowbrow, enjoyable, that sort of grid. I think it'll flesh out. Pappy is in his own quadrant of that, and this will be hopefully more in the in enjoying the experience, because I don't think there's going to be anything that's confusing or highfalutin about this one.
I don't think you're going to find, in contrast to Pappy, as many horrible disfigured bodies dripping sweat, grime, grease, oil, BO, stink, blood, pus, brain matters, fart bubbles or whatever.
Yes, tooth, lipstick smeared on teeth.
Yeah, you're probably going to have a lot more attractive characters, so there's at least that to look forward to.
Right, and they do not burn their girthy black objects. They use those for their intended purposes.
Yes, they are on brand, so...
all right. Anything else? Should we give them our assignments? I think we're going to do through chapter 5. So that's page 78 in the paperback edition. And yeah, there's got a F word on that page. And looks like the plot has developed quite a bit by that point in time. Since there's it seems like he and the mistress have already gotten busy. So we'll see what happens.
On page 74, there is, just so you know, you're not dealing with dense text here. There is a back and forth texting conversation.
Oh wow!
So it's like 11 words taking up the whole page. So
oh cool!
It's just like, are you home? No, at the office. Okay. So texts.
Yeah.
So
all right.
That's to look forward to.
Yeah. So this is someone's a mother of two has written this, and I guess you know the question is always what would it take for you to read your mom's erotic fan fiction? And I guess the tune of $95 million in future inheritance might be the answer to that question. So just keep that in mind as you read this, that this person's, you know, having her kids home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and since she does have the pen name, nobody's gonna, you know, unless it's well known, you're in hiding, and when they ask what your mom does, you can just say, you know, she runs a children's hospital, and no more questions.
Right. And then, she was hit by a truck when I was three.
Yeah.
That's how we have all this money from the settlement.
Well, I'm excited.
I am too. I'm very excited.
This is going to be much breezier than our last one. This is going to be more enjoyable. So,
thank God.
Yes. I look forward to it. And thank you for joining us here at 372 Pages. We'll never get back. Connor, last words go to you.
Do not accidentally chain yourself to your radiator while reading this. That would be my advice. You never know what your dog will do.
That is solid. Solid ending. All right, we'll see you next time on 372 Pages.